Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Manifest the Big Stuff. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on this PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Bruce Music. But before I do this, I just wanted to take a few moments up front to let you know how this evening's call will work. We'll be on the line for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Bruce various questions on the topic of manifesting the big stuff. Now, I have to say this call has actually been the most popular call that we've run through PeopleYouShouldMeet.com. There's been a phenomenal sign-up rate from people from all over the world, and the actual caliber of questions that we had through were really quite amazing. Now, of course, given the volume of questions that did come through, we won't be able to cover anywhere near the number that actually came through, but what I do ask you to do is to listen out for your answer, which may be answered in someone else's question. Excellent. Now, our special guest this evening is a man that I've known for probably 3 years now, and I have to say, like, he's made an absolutely phenomenal impact on my life. He's the man that I call whenever I'm looking for that pep-up, for that spark of inspiration. He's a man who walks his talk, and literally I've seen him over the last 3 years create some absolutely phenomenal things and manifest some incredible material possessions, but also incredible once-in-a-lifetime experiences. And he's no better man to really guide us through the terrain of manifesting. So it gives me very, very great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest and my good friend, Bruce Music. How are you doing there, Bruce?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Damon. You always do the nicest introductions. I'm always left glowing afterwards. Thank you.
Actually very fortunate to have you introduce me last night, which was absolutely lovely at a Dream Your Business Into Being seminar here live in London, and yeah, it was lovely to actually be on the receiving end of your introduction as well.
Awesome. So should we get this show on the road?
Cool. Now I'm going to start at the top, Bruce, and I guess this whole notion of big stuff, I guess I really wanted to start off with just understanding what exactly is the big stuff.
Great question. I think what prompted me and inspired me to title this call How to Manifest the Big Stuff was I discovered that, you know, now we're 2.5, almost 3 years into The Secret having been launched and hit the world by storm. And in my business teaching people how to manifest better, I've noticed that a lot of people have become very proficient at manifesting the small stuff. And, you know, I make this joke, like, I'm going to teach you how to manifest more than just empty parking spaces. Because, you know, empty parking spaces aren't that difficult to manifest. And we'll talk a bit more about parking spaces later on. So I kind of thought, well, you know, people get into manifesting because they really want to manifest some big stuff. And, you know, big stuff could be anything from millions in the bank to the lifestyle of your dreams to what you so aptly said a moment ago, once-in-a-lifetime experiences. And that's my favorite thing to manifest is once-in-a-lifetime experiences. Like, for example, 2 weeks ago, I rode my motorcycle from London to Switzerland through the Alps, and I spent 6 days riding through the Alps as an adventure. Or last year, I spent a month in India on motorcycles. For me, that's my big stuff. For other people, big stuff might be the house of your dreams or might be a dream or relationship that ends up in a marriage. Or it might be building your business so that you no longer have to work in it and you can work on it. I mean, it's going to be different for everybody, but the single common factor that all these things have is that it's not the easy stuff. It's not going to happen in a split second. So you could define the big stuff as the stuff that perhaps takes a little bit longer to manifest and a little bit more time. And I think one of several of the factors that are, or ingredients that are totally essential for manifesting the big stuff that you don't get taught in movies like The Secret or in a lot of the Law of Attraction type books, they only talk about the attraction part, which I think is a real mistake, because for me, attraction consists of not only attraction, but also action. And if you've heard me on calls before, you'll hear me talk about the word attraction and how contained within the word attraction are the letters A-C-T-I-O-N, the word action. And I like to teach manifesting from both perspectives, from the point of attracting and from the point of going out there and acting. And very often with the big stuff, Damien, you've got to, as you know, you've got to go out there and take some really, really big action. And it takes time. And sometimes, you know, manifesting the big stuff can take, you know, years. Like, for example, when I wanted to go to India on my motorcycle, we manifested this opportunity to come up. My wife and I programmed our minds to attract this possibility of riding motorcycles through India for 2 weeks. And we did. And you've heard me tell the story in other calls, so I won't go into it now. But what ended up happening was it was a charity event, and we had to raise £8,000 for charity in order to go. Now, at the time, that was a big deal for us. You know, we didn't have £8,000 lying around the house. So it took us a year to raise the money. We did our first ever fundraising, and we fundraised this money. But after a year of consistently focusing on raising the money and gathering the momentum around it, we actually ended up having manifested our dream, and a year later, we were in India for a month riding through India, and collectively we raised $250,000 for Indian charities
Wow.
with all the people that went. So tonight's all about the big things, and you know, in summary of what I've just said, the big things take a bit more time, and this evening I'd like to speak and teach you about what are some of the things that are required in order to manifest the big stuff and some of the mistakes that people make and how you can avoid making them along the way.
Right, that's a fantastic answer, Bruce. One point I just wanted to touch on was just it taking a little bit longer, and I just wanted to introduce the whole concept of delayed gratification and how, I guess, that sense of anticipation building inside of you as there's something that you really, really desire. There's just a natural tension that actually builds up, and I was just wondering if you could just talk about your experience with that tension and that delayed gratification, and does it actually enhance the manifesting process?
I think so, because it's almost like a test. If you can pass the time test, you've got what it takes to get what you want. If you look at, I certainly believe anything worth having is worth waiting for, and anything worth having is worth working for. But when you're working with the law of attraction, you'll find it happens a lot more easily than if you're just going out there, what I call paddling upstream, kind of working against the natural current of life. But you certainly do need to have an ability to stay the course. And really, that ability comes naturally when you have an authentic goal, Damien. So I think what a lot of people are doing and why is they're trying to stay the course to get to a goal that isn't really authentic. And by authentic, I mean something that doesn't really genuinely light them up, doesn't genuinely propel them forward. So, you know, when the shit hits the fan, which inevitably it does along the way, those are the goals that we tend to drop and give up on the quickest, the ones that aren't inspiring. However, it's the ones that are in line with our highest values. And I think this was the missing ingredient in The Secret. You know, on the promotion for this call, we said I'd teach you the missing ingredient from The Secret and how to use it to manifest everything you want. Well, I believe the missing ingredient in The Secret, the movie The Secret, was that most of us are brilliant at manifesting the things that are highest on our value list, the things that we value most, and we'll never really become good at manifesting the things that we don't value unless we change our values around. So, for example, I'll just give you by example from my life. One of my highest values is learning. So I am very good at manifesting lots of money to pay for all the courses and learning that I want to do. I'm also incredibly good at manifesting guitars because I love guitars. I have three of them behind me hanging here in my room, two of which I manifested without even actually paying for. They just kind of were given to me, and another one I won in a competition. I might tell you about that later. But because I love guitars, I'm brilliant at manifesting them. I'm also great at manifesting motorcycles. I own one of four Benelli Tornado motorcycles. They're Italian exotic motorcycles. There's only four in the whole of the country. And when I say the country, I mean South Africa. And I managed to just manifest one of them at below cost price. Because I love motorcycles, I'm brilliant at manifesting those things. So the trick to manifesting the big things is to make sure that your goals are in line with your highest values, with the things that you love. And you'll find those things you'll manifest effortlessly. So, for example, I know I'm kind of going on, Damon, and we've got a lot to cover, but this will be my point, and then we can kind of get into the questions. For example, I'm going to use my example of motorcycles. Imagine you also love motorcycles like I do, okay? If you wanted to manifest a lot of money, rather than focusing on trying to make a million, which so many people struggle to do and struggle to manifest money, rather focus on something that's within your highest value. So if motorcycles are in your highest value, focus on creating enough money so that buying the motorcycle of your dreams is effortless and doesn't even kind of touch sides. You know, you've got way more than enough money to do that. So if you focus on the goal of the motorcycle of your dreams or the house of your dreams or whatever it is that's exciting to you, rather than the money, which is not exciting to anybody, because we're more excited by what we can do with money than money itself, you'll find yourself motivated to move towards it and stay the course through the long run, and kind of that delayed gratification will be gratifying at the end. You'll get what you want, is my point.
Mm. I think that's a really powerful distinction. What you said just before with the authentic goals, that actually really resonated with me, because I guess 5 years ago in my own life, I found that I was actually chasing after goals that weren't authentically my own. And I guess through hard-headedness and determination, like, I managed to achieve a deal of success with that journey, but actually holding on to those, I guess those end goals were a lot more difficult, because I didn't feel like they were an authentic expression of what I was here to do. And
yeah,
I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen it in other people's lives as well, is that when you achieve something that isn't aligned with you, often it will get taken away from you, just so it can actually place you on the path to that authentic self-expression. So that response really, really resonated with me, Bruce.
I've had
Great.
That experience too, having had things taken away.
Yeah. And often it's just to free up your life for the good stuff to come through.
Very often, and yeah.
We've had a phenomenal number of questions that came through the site for this call. And rather than ask more of my own questions, I thought I'd jump in a little early and just start asking some of the questions that came in through the site. And I'm going to start with a question from Tom in the UK. And Tom asks, how quickly can you manifest the big stuff? For example, £1 million, developing your business from a one-man operation to a multi-unit or multi-person business, or a brand new house, especially when you've had many, many years of mediocre results in these areas?
Wow. Okay, that's a really great question with many, many facets. So I think the first thing I'm going to touch on is the last thing you said, when you've had many, many years of mediocre results in these areas. Well, that would kind of indicate to me that these areas that you're speaking of are not on your highest value list, and that's why you're getting mediocre results. And that what you would need to do first is make business high on your values by jiggling around your values a bit. And I don't have the time to go into that now, but the man to speak to about that is Dr. John DeMartini. He's the expert at doing that. Secondly, you talk about, like, the first part of the question was, how quickly can you manifest the big stuff? Well, for me, even just asking that question about speed kind of indicates that you're looking for a quick fix or you're desperate. And this is kind of something I really want to address in the call, because so many people who want to manifest and who are drawn to the law of attraction are in desperate circumstances, not desperately looking for a way out. But in a sense, that's kind of a trap, because the whole emotion behind desperation repels attracting anything you want, because the mindset you must have to be desperate must be that you one of lack and that you don't have enough. Otherwise, you wouldn't be desperate, right? You'd be desperate because you feel like you don't have enough, so you're desperate for more. And if subconsciously you feel like you don't have enough, that's what you're going to attract more of. So I haven't yet answered your question, so let me answer it quickly. The answer to the question would be, it can take a split second or it can take a lifetime, depending on many different factors. A, the size of what it is you're trying to manifest, and I think one of the most powerful factors is your ability to receive what you want. You see, some of us have more structures in place to be able to actually receive what we want. So, for example, somebody who has a multi-million dollar business already, it's going to be a lot easier for them with their multi-million dollar business to manifest £1 million, because they're already manifesting £1 million every year anyway. So they've got the structures in place. The reason why it takes longer to manifest bigger things like more money is that first what we have to do is build the structure to receive the thing that we want. And that's another thing that's not spoken about in the secret. I do believe it's possible to just manifest £1 million by thinking about it if you're a Zen master about to, you know, break the cycle of life and death and ascend up into heaven, and which most of us aren't. Well, I haven't met one yet anyway. I think it's possible, but it's probably not probable, and we're going to talk about probability later on in this call. The other thing is, rather than thinking of the law of attraction as like placing an order, thinking of it as co-creation is a far more empowering way to do it. So I have this thing I teach in my seminars, and one of the things I try and drum out of people's minds is that the law of attraction is actually not designed to bring you what you want. It's designed to bring you the opportunities to act, and then your part in the deal is taking the action, right? So it's co-creation. There's two parts to it. The universe, if you will bring you opportunities, but then your job is to go out there and act on the opportunities, and through taking your action and taking massive action, you'll get what you want. And as long as you have the ability to receive, and sometimes that takes time, you'll ultimately get what you want if you stay the course and you can do that delayed gratification thing you were talking about. The small things are easy to get because you usually already have the ability to receive them in your life. So you have the structures in place to receive them. So if you wanted to, you know, manifest an extra £100, for example, well, chances are you could get a bonus at work tomorrow, and you would probably find it a lot easier to manifest £100 than you would £1 million, because the structures exist for that to happen already. So we're going to talk about later on this call building structures and how to actually build structures and the kind of structures you need to manifest money. I know money seems to be the big topic that's on everybody's minds at the moment, and it's the one that when you don't have money, it's the one you want the most. So I'll talk more about that, and I'll kind of keep my focus on that throughout the call for the lot of people in the call who are wanting more money.
Brilliant. When you're actually talking about structure there, Bruce, the image that popped into my mind was just someone actually standing out in the rain trying to capture the droplets as they fell from the sky, falling from the sky. And I guess in terms of a structure, you could be out there standing with a shot glass. You could have a pint glass. You could have a bucket.
Yeah.
You could have
a dam.
Yeah. And literally, just those containers or those structures provide you with a different opportunity or a different threshold in terms of what you can attract in terms of the water that you can capture.
What a beautiful image. And the thing I'd like to add to that, which again we'll talk about later on in the call, is that there's two kinds of structures. There's internal ones and external ones. And what we're talking about here is the external structures, the things that are outside of ourselves that we have to build in reality. There's also the internal structures, the your self-belief, the belief that you're actually worth that much and that you're worth receiving that much money, that you've got to build as well. So you've got to focus on building internal and the external ones.
Mm. That's a really, really important distinction. Having, I guess, traversed the two worlds from the corporate world to also spending a lot of time in the more spiritual path as well, just seems that the people in the corporate world chasing the money have a lot of external resources, but they're searching for the inner resources in terms of feeling peaceful and, I guess, the more spiritual aspects of life. And on the flip side, people who are following a more spiritual path often wondering, where is the money?
Where's my stuff?
Where's my stuff?
Yeah.
Exactly. But I just like the internal and external, and I guess just finding some harmony between attracting the things that you want in life and also finding that peace of mind.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, that's really powerful. Excellent. Now I'm going to ask a question from Vic in the Netherlands. And Vic asks, is the following valid? I would like to come into oodles of cash, in brackets, who wouldn't? So is buying a lottery ticket and manifesting winning the lottery a valid way to go about it?
Well, it's certainly a valid way to go about it, but it's probably not the most easiest way to go about it. And This is going to bring us to another mistake that people make with the law of attraction. One of the fundamental things I see people are doing, especially the people who are drawn to the law of attraction, is they're trying to get something for nothing. They try to manifest something for free. So a lot of people are trying to manifest £1 million just arriving in their bank account without them having to do anything. Or they're trying to, this one is a classic, because this one I find women suffering from a lot. They're trying to manifest the man of their dreams without going outside and talking to anybody. They're waiting for the men to come and talk to them. And very often the men do come and talk to them, but they're not the good ones, you know. And if you're trying to manifest a man, ladies, you know, I recommend you go out there and talk to them. My wife did that to me. In fact, you know, that's kind of how we got together. She came up to me. I was on stage playing guitar in my band. And she came up to me afterwards and kind of chatted me up at the bar. And now we're married. And she took the initiative. So she was actually willing to invest something in this. She was willing. My wife, well, I'll just use this story as an example. My wife was willing to invest me saying no, potentially being rejected and feeling rejected, but she was willing to invest something in there of herself. So she got the result that she wanted in the end. And I think for so many people, they're not willing to invest. They just want to kind of place their order with the universe and then sit back and wait for it to happen. And then they wonder why it doesn't happen. And I think that could possibly be, you know, with all due respect, why this call has been so popular, because there's so many people who are doing that as a result of The Secret kind of misleading them. Don't get me wrong, I love the movie The Secret. It popularized the law of attraction. It's done so many good things in the world. But they also, during the hour and a half they had to present the movie, didn't have the time to cover so many of the facets involved in manifesting. And they couldn't do it all, you know. So the action part of it wasn't really touched on as much. So if I would say one thing to you, is like, stop trying to manifest stuff for free. Rather, try to manifest some really big opportunities for you to go out there and make your million yourself in your flow, contributing and giving back to the world and the universe, and living the life of your dreams, rather than trying to sit back. And I think that also comes from people wanting to also manifest not working. I think so many people these days are in jobs that they don't like and are unhappy with their life, and then financial struggles. They think the answer is going to be, if they could manifest just sitting on a beach for the rest of their life, doing nothing, that is their ultimate dream. But I promise you, after 2 weeks of sitting on a beach, doing nothing, you're going to be bored out of your skull, right? You're going to want to work. It's far more productive to look at how you can manifest some way that you can contribute to the world, expressing your natural talents and your natural passions, and making a fortune at the same time.
You
got me fired up there.
That's really important. But this sort of topic gets me fired up as well, because I guess I've seen lots of research of people who have done the seemingly impossible and actually win the lottery. And they've done study after study after study, just following people on that journey once they've actually got the cash just plonked into their bank account from winning a lottery. And typically within 2 or 3 years they've blown the whole lot. And I guess the emotional journey that they've gone on from winning that lottery money into spending all that lottery money to finding themselves broke, most people at the end of that process actually would have preferred not to have the money at all.
It's
so emotionally draining and painful. And but on the flip side of that, the people who actually take their steps and build something that brings them alive, and as a result of that process, attract wealth. Typically, they'll hold on to their wealth and enjoy it a lot more.
And
as well.
Also, typically, they've got a big goal that they're moving towards that they're inspired about. It's high on their values. You know, accomplishing their goal is very high on their values. Like my hero is Nelson Mandela, and you know he did one of the greatest things ever, having saved a country pretty much. That was one of his highest values, and he spent 30 years in jail. You know, he stayed the course. He could do the delayed gratification thing, you know. But it was high on his values, and that's why I think it's so important to do a goal that's high on your values and make sure that all your goals are in line with your values and get present to what your values actually are. You know, and if some of you are wanting to do that, here's my tip that I recommend you do is take a piece of paper and write down a list of where you spend all your money and where you spend all your time. And the things that pop up on that list over and over again, you'll find are the things that are the highest things on your values. Another question you could ask is, as a stranger, if you had to describe your house to me, what would you describe? Like, if I walked into your house, what would be some of the first things you'd see? Like, my values are very easy to see. There are two motorcycles parked out the back of the house, and only one car. I have a library that's stacked with courses and DVDs and CDs all about learning, because my two highest values are adventure, motorcycling, and learning, and then business books and business. So those are my three highest values, and you can see that from my house. So what can I see from your house if I was coming into your house? What would your values be, and how would I know? And when you start to set your goals in line with what you naturally love already, you'll find it just start to happen.
Yes, a really powerful distinction. Excellent, Bruce. I'm going to move on to Richard in the United Kingdom. And Richard asks, although I've seen The Secret and achieved parking spaces and visualization of things going the way that I want rather than my initial expectation of dread, when it comes to money and larger items, it just doesn't happen. Why might this be?
Okay, so he's talking about he's struggling to manifest the big things. Okay, Richard. Well, I think in order to answer this question, I'm going to get a little bit into some quantum physics. And not too deep, but I'm going to speak about possibility versus probability. Okay? So it's very nice, and in the New Age world, you hear bantered around the terms, you know, anything's possible. You hear that all the time, and people will, you know, when they're going through, you know, trying to manifest, they keep on telling themselves anything's possible, and anything is possible. It totally is. Anything's possible. I'm a firm believer in that. But anything is not always probable. Okay? So let me give you an example. Winning the lottery. Okay? It is possible that you could win the lottery, but it's not probable. Okay? The odds of you winning the lottery are stacked very highly against you, especially if you haven't bought a ticket yet. Right? But you'll notice the more tickets you buy, the more probable winning the lottery becomes. So this is kind of how co-creation works again. As you take action, buying more lottery tickets, so the odds of you winning the lottery, the probability of it happening, increase. And I'll give an example from my own life. When I was, I think I was about 16 or 17, and I just read John Kehoe's book, Mind Power, and I was fascinated by manifesting, and I was practicing the law of attraction and doing visualization and practicing all John's techniques. And I saw this competition in this music magazine to win an electric guitar, a Fender Stratocaster guitar signed by the rock band Live. I've actually got it right in front of me. You can hear me playing the strings here. And it was in this magazine, and all you had to do was send in a postcard and answer a question on the postcard, and you stood a chance of winning the guitar. So I made sure I was going to increase the probability of me winning the guitar, both internally and externally. And what I did from the internal point of view is for 3 weeks I drove around in my car doing affirmations like crazy, visualizing myself with the guitar, imagining the people from Top 40 magazine phoning me up saying, hey, Bruce, you are the winner of this new Fender Stratocaster guitar, and me going, woohoo! I did all that stuff, all the inner game stuff. And I also did some outer game stuff, took some massive action and increased my odds to make it more probable that I was going to win. And I did two things. The first thing actually came out of desperation. I decided I was going to increase my odds. So instead of sending in one postcard, I wrote out 400 postcards. I went and I took all these free postcards in Cape Town in South Africa. They give away free postcards in restaurants, and you can just go grab a bunch of 10 at a time, and they've got advertising on them, and that's why they're free. So I just grabbed, went to all the restaurants one night, took a night around town and walked around and took 400 postcards from about 15 different restaurants. And then I spent 4 hours writing out these 400 postcards with my address on the back and with the answer to the question to win the competition, thinking I was going to increase my odds. But of course, being the broke musician I was at 16 or 17 years of age, I didn't have the money to pay for the postage for 400 postcards. So this is where the second part came in, is I decided I was going to increase my odds in another way. I was going to put 400 postcards in an envelope and send them all off in one envelope, then I only had to pay postage for one envelope. But I thought, I don't know, they may just think that's cheating. So I decided I'm going to catch their attention as well. So I took an empty guitar case, and I put 400 postcards in this empty guitar case, sealed the guitar case, wrapped it up, and FedEx them the empty guitar case with the 400 postcards in the guitar case. I thought that's going to catch their attention. You know, they were expecting to receive postcards, not guitar cases. So I did everything I could think of to increase my odds. So now the probability of me winning the guitar was a lot higher. And, of course, 3 weeks later, I did get that call, and almost exactly as I'd visualized, through the law of attraction and my co-creation and me taking action, I won that guitar, and I've got it on my wall, and I've used it in many, many recordings, including the hit song that I wrote that went to number one. So that's kind of an example of increasing probability. So kind of getting back to your question.
Just had this incredible vision there of popping into my head of you playing air guitar every single day.
I was on a tennis racket. I stand in front of the mirror with a tennis racket playing air guitar before I could afford the Fender electric guitar. And then my hockey stick as well. At school, I played hockey. I'd play air guitar and my hockey stick. Anyway, that's just another way, I guess, of acting as if. You know. So, you know, just to carry on from that and talking about possibility versus probability, to manifest the big things, you need to start increasing the probability of your possibility coming true. So why is it easy to manifest the small stuff like parking spaces, for example, like you were talking about, Richard? Well, it's easy because the external structures already exist to fulfill your goal. So what I mean by that in English is that parking spaces already exist, and the complexity of a parking space is pretty minimal, and the probability is very high that somebody's going to leave their parking space within a couple of minutes in the parking lot. So the odds are kind of stacked in your favor, and your belief is also generally pretty high that you're going to manifest it. So your internal structures are in place as well. Your belief that you can manifest an empty parking space is pretty high because we've all done it before. We've had the experience of succeeding with it in the past, and we know that's pretty probable. So we don't put any mental barriers to kind of repel what we want. And, you know, it's not surprising that when we pull into the parking lot, whoa, blow me down if there isn't an empty parking space right in front of me. And then we go, wow, the law of attraction works. Well, of course it works. It's always working. But when it comes to big stuff, why doesn't it seem to work? So let's say, use the same example, but we're going to now try and manifest something big like £1 million, for example. Now, if you're wanting to manifest £1 million, but you haven't got the internal and external structures in place, the probability is very low that that's going to happen. So if you don't have a way to receive £1 million, I was talking about this earlier, let's say you don't have the business opportunities to generate £1 million, or you don't find yourself with a very wealthy family that could give you £1 million, chances are it's not going to be as easy or as probable for you to accomplish your goal straight away until you've got that structure in place. Also, looking at the internal factors, if your belief is low, like for a lot of people, you know, subconsciously believing that they're really able to get £1 million is very difficult for most people. Most people battle to even imagine themselves having £1 million because of feelings of self-worth and because of all the negative programming we've had in the area of money as we've been growing up. The probability is pretty low because your internal and external structures are not built yet. So although it's possible to get your £1 million, it's probably not probable, at least not overnight. You may need to put some time in and gain some momentum and consistency over time and working on a project, and then it's very possible that you'll stack the odds in your favor and you'll get the £1 million. Now, if your belief is low, one of the easiest ways to increase your self-worth and your belief is to visualize. And I'm an expert in visualization. I've written lots of stuff, and I got some free stuff. If you want to read some free stuff in visualization, just go to relaxandattract.com. That's www.relaxandattract.com. And if you enter your first name and email address there, I'll send you a whole bunch of stuff about visualization, how you can visualize more easily, how you can relax and attract everything that you want in life. And there's a whole lot of lessons about the law of attraction there. There's a one-hour audio course you can download and a special report called the Top 10 Mistakes That You Probably Already Make With the Law of Attraction and What to Do About Them. So www.relaxandattract.com, and you can get that stuff for free. And that'll kind of help you, if your belief is low, to increase your belief along the way.
Brilliant. And just on that topic of relaxation, Bruce, some people may think that's a little counterintuitive in terms of being able to put yourself in a state of being to attract what you want. How important is relaxation and being calm and poised and in actually being in the right physiological and mental state to attract?
I think it's totally essential. I can't put enough emphasis on it. If you visit my blog, I've got some. I made a video on relaxation. You can go just type into relaxation my blog. That's designer-life.com/blog. designer-life.com/blog. There's a video I made on relaxation that'll kind of give you some more insight. But just to use a metaphor, Damien, if you think about a tree blowing in the wind, trees don't resist the wind when it blows. If they did, they'd be uprooted and they'd blow over. They sway gently with the wind, and they relax and kind of go with the flow. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of copying nature, because nature seems to be the most successful thing around me so far, as far as I've noticed. I've never found anything more successful than nature. Nature survived, you know, very improbable stuff, you know. Like, for example, I've got a blade of grass that's grown through the cement in my backyard. And I thought, how can a tiny little blade of grass, you know, break through half a foot of concrete, you know? But over time, obviously relaxing, over time the seed got, you know, was in the soil that was underneath when the concrete was laid, and the seed sprouted, and over time it found the path of least resistance. It relaxed its way through the cracks, created its own cracks, but over time relaxing, and eventually it sprouted out through my concrete, right? Another example from nature is a river. A river always finds the path of least resistance down to the sea. It doesn't try and go uphill. It relaxes its way down and just kind of flows down. So how to apply this in life is, if you are relaxing every day and you're mentally relaxed, I'm not talking about physical relaxation, I'm talking about mental relaxation. If you close your eyes every day and spend some time going inside and relax, breathe deeply, make sure you're relaxed, you'll find your mind is A, a lot clearer and functions a lot better, and B, you're a lot more present. So you get to actually notice opportunities around you that you wouldn't notice if you were stressed out because your mind is so busy thinking. Not only that, I find when I'm relaxing, I tend to attract a whole lot more. When I'm consistently relaxing every single day, consciously making an effort to relax, or even when I go on a holiday, sometimes I wrote this blog called Get Rich Quick, Go on Holiday, because every time I went on holiday, my business was doing so much better than when I was in it. And I attribute it to because the fact that I was relaxed and I wasn't interfering with my business and I was mentally relaxed, I was attracting everything that I wanted. But that's a whole nother call in and of itself. But if you want more on that, you know, go to relaxandattract.com and sign up for that information, or go to my blog at designer-life.com/blog, and you can get a video there on relaxation.
Brilliant. And like your blog, Bruce, is really one of the best blogs out there. Like, I use it to inspire myself to do incredible things in the world. And just some
Thank
of the,
you.
Just documenting your experience of life, whether it's, like, I loved the video last week you showed of your cycling tour to Switzerland, and also some of the videos you had from your tour to India. Like, it really is inspiring and certainly opens my own mind up to thinking bigger and just getting out there and doing amazing things and making the
most
of
it. That was my intention. And I attract through my blog as well. You know, it's also been a great source of attraction for me, attracting opportunities through that blog. But we'll talk more about the business aspect of making money in, you know, shortly. Wow,
great.
We were 40 minutes in, Damo. I better hurry up.
Great. Okay, we've got a question from Murray in the United Kingdom. And Murray asks, I understand that when you wish to manifest money, you're not looking for a lottery win. You're looking for a way in which you can take action to earn that money. So that's good. Murray's on the way.
On the money there.
What happens if you have long-standing health problems which prevent you from working and severely limit your physical ability to take that sort of productive action? That's the situation I face, and the credit card debts just keep getting bigger every month. How do I get the law of attraction to work for me and generate some serious money?
Wow, Mari, great question. Thank you so much for that. Well, the first thing I'd say is that the law of attraction is already working for you. It always has been, and it always will be. You are always attracting that which you think about the most into your experience. That's how you create your reality. And with all due respect, Mari, that's how you've created your health problems. And this is a touchy subject, but brings me on to another thing, that the law of attraction is a tool. It's not magic, okay? If you use it as a tool, you'll be able to attract anything you want. Most people try and use it as magic. They try and magically manifest stuff without wanting to go out there and do anything themselves. So here's what I'm going to say. Some of the greatest people, or all the greats, anybody who is successful in any area, be it Tiger Woods, Nelson Mandela, Richard Branson, whatever it may be, they've all taken responsibility for where they're at. Now, I understand you've got health problems, Mari, and you know, you're in credit card debt and it seems to be getting worse. The first thing I'm going to request that you do is start to have a look at how you're responsible for this. By the way, and again, with all due respect, and I don't know you, so I'm kind of coaching you just based on a question, but by the way the question's phrased, my sense is the perspective that you wrote this question was one of being a victim. And I don't mean a bad, you know, victim's got such a bad connotation. I don't mean it in a nasty way, but just in the sense that it's happening to you, like your health problems happen to you and your credit card debt's happening to you, rather than coming from the perspective, Mari, that you are responsible for having created that. And one of the keys to manifesting the big things in life is the ability to take responsibility for your life. So let me define what I mean by responsibility. Responsibility just is nothing more than the ability to respond. And it's not about blame. A lot of people confuse responsibility with blame. Like when they say, I'm responsible, they subconsciously mean, oh, I was bad. I'm to blame for this. I'm not talking about responsibility like that. I speak about responsibility from the terms of your ability to respond right now in this very moment, because that's all we have. We don't have the past, the future. We only have now, to your disease. And one way you might want to respond is to get creative. You know, most of the people who have been hugely successful in life have done it in a creative way. And I'll give you a story of somebody else who's very ill. Now, it's a guitar story because I love guitars. One of my favorite guitarists when I was growing up was a guy called Jason Becker. He was a young 18-year-old guitarist, and he accomplished the dream that most guitarists always dreamed of. Okay, so he was chosen to play in David Lee Roth's band. So suddenly he was this unknown kid of 18 playing guitar, and suddenly he was found and discovered by David Lee Roth, this huge rock star, and was chosen to play in his band. And this was every 18-year-old dream. It certainly was mine. You know, he was propelled into stardom. He recorded this great album with David Lee Roth called A Little Ain't Enough. And then something tragic happened. He found himself starting to get numb in his legs. And he found his whole body getting weak, and he went and got diagnosed, and it turned out he had a disease called ALS, which ultimately ended up paralyzing him. And he ended up recording the album on very thin guitar strings because his body was so weak he couldn't bend the strings. And he didn't end up touring with David Lee Roth. He just recorded the album, and then he couldn't walk. He then lost his ability to speak and his ability to move. And at the moment, Jason Becker is in bed somewhere, and the only thing he can move, well, in bed in his home, is his eyes. He's totally paralyzed. The only thing he can do is his eyes. So here's this 18-year-old kid who has his dream come true, but apparently now is, well, screwed for the rest of his life, right, because he's totally paralyzed. Well, he also had dreams and goals, and one of his dreams and goals was to record this amazing orchestral and solo album. And here's what he did. He got creative, right? Now, you think your circumstances are bad, you know, having health problems, Marie. I'm sure they're not as bad as being totally paralyzed, not being able to walk, move, talk, write, anything. He discovered a way to communicate with his eyes. He developed it, him and his father. And he starts to move his eyes to the left and to the right, and they mean different letters, and his father transcribes the letters, and he can communicate letter by moving his eyes with his father. Well, what he just started to do was he started transcribing and dictating musical notes to his father. And he was writing his solo album from paralyzed in his bed. What then happened, because Jason's story was, you know, became very well known in guitarist circles, all the top guitarists, rock guitarists, and who were his peers, got together and they performed the album for him. They played his music, each guitarist taking a different song and playing together with all the greatest musicians as a charity fundraising thing, so that he obviously couldn't work again for the rest of his life. So they were raising money for this guy, for Jason Becker, and he released his album being totally paralyzed, only able to move his eyes. Mm. So he got creative and he took responsibility for his condition. He didn't just sit there and give up. He fought. And that's what I'm going to say to you, Marie. If you've got a goal that's big enough and a goal that's inspiring enough to you, and his goal was inspiring. He wanted to write an album. Your goal is inspiring. You'll get beyond your health problems and beyond your credit card problems. We all have problems. But it starts with the ability to respond, getting that you can do something right now. You may not know what that is. Just start with knowing you can. And from then on, you'll find the next thing starts to happen. The other thing you can begin doing is just visualize. Start to visualize yourself living the life you want to live over and over and over and over again. And again, you can go to relaxandattract.com and get a free report on how to do that. And what visualization does is it gives you the internal structures to go out there and take action. You know, Damien, one of the things that strikes me is that most people actually know how to manifest the big things. They know how to succeed already. They're just not doing it. They're just not doing the things they know to do. You know, most of us, we're not stupid. We know how to make money, and we know how we could make 1 million, and we know how we could go and get the man of our dreams. We're just not doing it because our internal structures aren't supportive of that. Our self-image doesn't support it, whatever the case may be. So, you know, if
actually,
it's okay, I want to just... Sorry, Karen?
I was just going to say that was just an incredibly inspiring story from Jason Becker.
You go Google Jason Becker, and I think his album that he wrote with his eyes was called Perspectives. An amazing, amazing guy. And I want to speak about one more internal structure briefly, because I know we're coming up to the hour. Another internal structure that is possibly one of the most powerful concepts, if you really get it, you could ever take on, that's the concept of integrity. Now, the official definition of integrity is a state of something being whole and complete. But I'm going to kind of use Werner Erhard, who originated the S training and then Landmark Education. I'm going to use his definition of integrity, which is honoring your word, which in essence what he meant when Werner defined honoring your word, he was talking about doing what you say you're going to do. When you're a person who has integrity and does what they say they're going to do, you become incredibly powerful in the world, an incredible powerful manifester. Because you know when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And people start to relate to you as a person who does what they say they're going to do. And when people relate to you like that, you find you start to attract a whole different caliber of opportunities and people who want to do business with you, who want to entrust you with their money, who want to invest with you, who want to employ you, because they know you're the kind of person who does what they say they're going to do. And, you know, Werner didn't define it as kind of keeping your word. He defined it as honoring your word. And this is why, because he believed that when you do anything big in life, you're always going to break your word. If you are always keeping your word, you're playing a game that's too small, right? So anything where you're playing a big game, you're going to break your word. But you can still, when you break your word, you can still honor your word. And you honor your word by taking responsibility for breaking your word. So, for example, you know, Damien, if I, you know, suddenly something, an emergency came up in my life and I couldn't make this call tonight, as a man of integrity, honoring my word, what I might do would be, you know, pre-record the call with you so we could play a recorded version of the call or arrange for somebody else to take my place on the call. That way, honoring my word and make it up to you in another way. Right. So if you can become a person of integrity and a person who takes responsibility, you are 99% on the way to success. It's just a matter of time before you get everything that you want, because having those two internal qualities will go leaps and bounds towards you being able to attract opportunities into your life to get the big things that you want. And I could do an entire call on integrity and responsibility, but I think that kind of gets the idea across at least.
That's really powerful. I just like the whole, just the creative aspect of it, just working with wherever you're at. And if you can't fulfill like an obligation, just working creatively with it. Or if you find yourself in a situation in life where you feel that the odds are stacked against you, just accepting where you are and working creatively with it and using your imagination. And that's just really, really strong theme coming through there. And I guess like bringing creativity or that sense of play into your life, often, I know in my own personal life, it's actually brought so many wonderful experiences just by just being in that state of absolute play. It's magical. Now, Bruce, we are running very tight on time, but there was one question that I really wanted to sort of get some serious attention on, because it was a theme that came through almost every single one of the questions.
Yeah.
And that is, how do you actually go about manifesting money?
Oh, wow. Perfect. Okay, well, it's actually perfect timing, because yesterday I just released a product all about manifesting money and programming the mind for wealth. So it's kind of on my mind right now. And I think I promised earlier, and being somebody of integrity who's going to keep his word, that I would talk about external structures to receive and the kind of external structures. So I think I'm going to bring that into the whole money thing. Okay, so how do you go about manifesting money? So assuming you've got the internal side correct already, that your beliefs around money are in place, and you know you relate to money in a positive way, and you have a self-image that supports you receiving money, what can you do to create the structures to allow you to receive? So the first thing you've got to do is find some kind of vehicle. Okay, so if you've got a pen and paper, write this down. You've got to get a vehicle to receive the money. Now, your vehicle could be a business. It's basically the way you're going to receive the money. And what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to increase the probability. Remember, we spoke about possibility and probability a moment ago. We're going to increase the probability of you getting that money. So if you have a business that's capable of doing $1 million, well, you're going to highly increase the probability of you getting $1 million, and you could have your $1 million 3 or 4 months from now. You know, if you've got a great idea for a business, you could get funding. And in 3 or 4 months, you could have your $1 million. No problem at all, right? So the first thing you need to find is a vehicle. And the best thing to do is to find the vehicle that resonates with you the most. We all have different personality types. And you know, some of us are creative, and our vehicles may be, you know, a business with our ideas as being the product. Some of us like working out in the limelight, in which case you may want to, you know, go out there and build your brand as a vehicle. You are the vehicle, and almost like you go out there and be a star in the world. I'm kind of talking about Roger Hamilton's wealth dynamic system here. Some of us are introverted, and you know, we wouldn't want to run a business. We just want to sit there crunching the numbers. In which case, you know, maybe we'd be good at trading or investing at being our vehicle. But find some kind of vehicle that could receive money. So perhaps it's investing in property, in the stock market, taking your products out there. Perhaps it's going out there and focusing on your strengths. If you're creative, you want to write music or be an actor or actress, become really great and master this vehicle and give the universe the possibility to give you and deliver the money. So you've got to find a vehicle. If you don't have a vehicle, you're just sitting at home visualizing, you're never going to receive that $1 million. It just ain't going to happen. And some of you have vehicles, but they're not really great vehicles. Some of your vehicles are jalopies, not Ferraris, right? So you want to assess what's the most effortless vehicle you could create to get you where you want to go. And one of the things Damien does so well, he teaches internet marketing, and the internet's a wonderful vehicle because it's so leveraged. You can touch, you know, we've got several hundred people on this call right now in one go. You know, for me to go out and arrange a seminar to 100 people live in person would take a lot more organizing than it does to have a couple hundred people from all over the world on this telecall right now. So the internet's a great one, and you know, go see Damien if you want to do that. Then the other important part about getting money is you need to provide some kind of value. Think about this for a moment. If you went to the supermarket, you wouldn't just leave the supermarket having paid for your groceries and then leave your groceries behind, would you? You've paid money, good money, your hard-earned money, to get groceries in return for some value. And the value the supermarket delivers is groceries or food. Now, nobody's going to give you money unless you're delivering value. And you've got to deliver lots of it or spread it wide. So, for example, Starbucks, they don't have a lot of value. They just have a cup of coffee, but they deliver it all over the world, right? So they leverage their value. And write down this little equation. This is from Roger Hamilton's Wealth Dynamics. And if you want to find out about Wealth Dynamics, I highly recommend you do it. Just go to designer-life.com/Wealth Dynamics. designer-life.com/wealthdynamics. And you can take this profile, which will tell you about your path of least resistance to wealth. But one of Roger's great equations, and write this down, is wealth equals value times by leverage. Wealth equals value times by leverage. And what Roger means by that is that your wealth is determined by how much value you deliver multiplied by how wide you manage to deliver that wealth. So if you're delivering your wealth to only five people a month, if you're delivering your value to only five people a month, perhaps your wealth's not going to be very high. But if you're delivering it to a million people a month, you could be very wealthy. You could be very wealthy delivering only to five people a month if your value, you charge $1 million every time you deliver it. So that's a great equation to start with. Wealth equals value times leverage. So have a look at where's your value, what value are you delivering, and then how can you leverage it, spread it out to as many people as possible. Okay. The next thing, the third thing that's really, really important as an external structure is having a plan. Now, for those of you who are creatives on the phone, you're probably going, oh, the idea of planning, it makes me sick. It certainly made me sick until my wife, who's a project manager, sat me down and, like, you know, put a gun to my head and said, right, I'm going to help you plan. And really what we did was so simple but totally effective, and it really focused my actions. And here's what we did. We just started at the end. What's the outcome we want to have 3 months from now? We just did a three-month plan because that's far less intimidating. I think you can't really plan further than 3 months because who knows what's going to happen, you know, 3 months ago, 3 months in the future. So 3 months is kind of a good plan. And just start with doing what, write down every single step you need to do to get to your goal, and then put them in order, the ones you're going to need to do first, and then take one step at a time and follow your plan. Schedule it in your calendar and follow your plan. Simple as that. Okay. Here's some good questions to help you kind of create the plan. The first question you could ask yourself is, who else has done what I want to do and how did they do it and can I copy them? So are there other people out there who've already done what it is you want to do and can you copy them? And even more excitingly, can you get these people as your personal mentors? Second question you could ask yourself, this I learned from one of my mentors, Eben Pagan, is called, it's a concept called inevitability thinking. And the question you ask is, you know, you often hear people say, you know, you should ask yourself the question, how could I make it possible? Well, he takes this one step further. He says, rather than how could I make it possible, the question he asks is, how could I make it inevitable that I reach my goal? And that's, using the word inevitable forces your mind to think in a whole different way. So, for example, if you want to lose weight, you could make it inevitable that you lose weight by getting a gym trainer, by posting a before photograph on the internet and, you know, declaring to 1,000 people on your blog that you're going to have lost weight by December or X amount of weight, by, you know, paying for an expensive gym trainer every month will have you go to gym, by you know, getting a partner to do it with you and you know, getting your team at work to hold you accountable to make sure that you eat the right stuff every day. You know, there's ways, things you could do to make it inevitable. So that's another great question you could ask yourself. And then I'm speeding up your demo because I know we've just hit the hour, and with your permission, if I could have an extra 10 minutes, that would really be awesome.
Well, I think most people on the call would love to hear you keep going, as I do, so permission granted.
Oh, thanks, bro. Okay, great. So the last thing I'll talk about in terms of external structures to receive are what I call existence systems, okay? So existence systems are ways or things that we can use to keep things in existence for us over time. One of the biggest problems people face manifesting the big things is that they're not able to keep structures in place over time, keep habits in place over time. And one of the easiest existence systems to start using that most people don't is to use your schedule or your calendar every day. So, for example, I'll give you a menial example of how an existence system helps me. I have to renew my tax discs, my road tax discs, on my three motorcycles every single year. Now, in the UK, unfortunately, they don't send me a reminder to do this. So if I don't remember myself to do this, I will find myself at the end of a year riding illegally on the road and probably get a fine from the police. It's happened to me before because I didn't remember to, you know, renew my tax disc and buy a new one. And it's because I didn't have a structure to keep renewing the tax disc in existence for me. So what I do now is I just have every time I get a tax disc, I look at the date that it expires, and in that date in my calendar, a week before, I say, renew tax disk today. Now it's in existence as a structure, and I run my life from my calendar, and what goes in my calendar happens from my calendar. And some people might feel limited and restricted like that, but I promise you it's the most freeing thing in the world. And I wouldn't recommend using a paper calendar, a diary. I recommend a digital one because you can move things around so much more easily. You can color code them. And I got a whole lot of time management techniques we could talk about in another call, Damien, on how to use a calendar. But just as one tip, that's where I'd say start. Schedule out your plan. Create your plan of the things you need to do for the next 3 months. And then rather than just burying your plan under a pile of paper or saving it in an Excel spreadsheet somewhere in deep, dark depths of your computer, schedule it in your calendar. So each little item, put it in. Okay, tomorrow I'm doing this item between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock p.m. The next day I'm doing this item between 10 and 4. And put every single item in a day and then do what's in your calendar every day. And if you can get in the habit of doing that, you'll find over time, you may not notice the results in the time space of days and hours and weeks, but over months you'll look back over the months and go, wow, how far have I come? I've actually reached my goal. Most people don't have systems for existence to keep things alive for them in their mind or in reality, and so they kind of they have these great ideas. They don't put in existence, so the ideas just drift away into the ether, never to be manifested. Right. So that's some of the external structures. And I'll just quickly recap the five. They were, I think I had five here. They were find the right vehicle, and then find the most effortless vehicle, then find your value and how you can leverage your value, create a plan and get a mentor and create some existence systems. So those are some of the external structures you can use and some of the stuff I teach in my seminars. All righty, I think we've got a few questions left. I think there were like two or three questions. I'll just run through them very quickly, Damo.
Okay, I want to ask a question from Valley in the United Kingdom. And Valley asks, why can't I just do it? Have I some subconscious blockage in my mind sets and conditioned patterns? Where can I go for help to break these patterns down?
Oh, great question, Valley. And that's kind of what I'm an expert in, is helping people create new beliefs and new patterns. Without going into depth about how the mind works, because I just don't have the time to do that right now, essentially, your actions or these habits that you're repeating round and round and round again, and unfortunately for most of us, we repeat our habits round and round and round and round again, and then we die, right? Most of us repeat our habits until we die. And if you look at your family and your friends, that's probably what they're doing, right? And that's because our habits and our beliefs are driven by our mental programs, right? And this is kind of like an NLP concept, that the mind is like a computer and can run programs. And until you can alter your program's value, you really don't have any access to changing your beliefs. And there's many different ways to alter your programming. One of the easiest ways is through visualization and hypnotherapy and hypnosis. And just coincidentally, yesterday the product that I launched is called the Relaxation for Wealth. And it's all about how what it does is reprograms your mind for wealth, reprograms your mind with new beliefs, removes the limiting beliefs in your mind about wealth so that you can go out there and start to attract what you want. And you can check that out at www.relaxationforwealth.co.uk. Relaxationforwealth.co.uk.
Brilliant. And I was actually just listening to Relaxation for Wealth just before the call, Bruce. And it's just an absolute work of genius.
Thank you.
Just really, really, really powerful stuff. So, I do definitely endorse the product, and if really tackling these unconscious beliefs and setting yourself up in a powerful position to attract the things you want is what you're after, then certainly do check that product out.
Awesome.
Okay, we have a question here from Michelle, and Michelle's in the UK as well, and Michelle asks, I understand that when I request an amount of money that a bag of cash isn't just going to land on my head.
Good work, Michelle.
It's a good distinction. It's more that the opportunity will arise for me to earn that money. But why is it that when the opportunity arises, all sorts of fears, doubts, and head talk kick in that make me stall? How can I get rid of those blocks to ensure that I take the action when the opportunity arises instead of turning away and doing all sorts of displacement activities?
Oh, perfect. Okay, how many of you are procrastinators? Stick your hand in the air right now. I'm imagining people all around the world sticking their hands in the air. Mine is included. So this is a great question because it's so common that we actually, you know, we know what to do, but we're just not doing it. And it's usually because our self-image, which is the way that we see ourselves subconsciously, doesn't support us taking action. So if you don't believe that you're worthy of wealth, or if you don't believe that you're worthy of success, or you don't have the confidence because your self-image isn't strong enough, you are not going to go out there and take the action no matter how much you want the wealth or no matter how much you want the thing that you want, right? You're just not going to go out there and do it. I liken it to the fact that most of us, you know, if we were standing on the edge of a motorway or a freeway, you know, filled with cars flying past at 120 miles an hour, no matter how much we willed ourselves to, we couldn't step out into the road to get killed. Our mind would not allow us to take that step out in the road because it knows we'd get killed. Now, unless, of course, we're suicidal and we're trying to kill ourselves, you know, it's like you couldn't jump off a cliff no matter how much you brought yourself to try. You're not going to go and jump off a cliff because it goes against the survival mechanism of the brain. Now, in the same way, if wealth could go against your brain's survival mechanism, because what if you took action and you failed and were humiliated? As far as your brain's concerned, that would be a threat to your survival. So it's not going to let you go out there and take the action. So what you need to do is you need to work on building your self-image. And again, it perfectly ties into this product because the Relaxation for Wealth, I've got a process in it just for building your self-image. And when you build your self-image, you'll find yourself more confident, you'll find yourself walking taller, you'll find yourself speaking more confidently to people, and you'll notice that the world responds very differently to you when you do those things. And it'll just come naturally. In fact, if you listen to the Relaxation for Wealth every morning, you'll wake up in the morning just feeling confident with a great self-image, and you'll go out into your day and do things that you perhaps wouldn't normally have done with your old self-image that wasn't as solid or, you know, well built. So, you know, you can use the Relaxation for Wealth to build your self-image. Also get a book by Maxwell Maltz called Psycho-Cybernetics. It's a great book on self-image. And then just go check out relaxationforwealth.co.uk. And, you know, go get the Relaxation for Wealth. It's very affordable, and that'll help you build your self-image as well.
Great. Yeah, I can endorse that Maxwell Maltz book as well. It's one of my favorite books in my self-development library at home. But
Me too.
It is an absolute classic read for anyone who is fascinated by the self-image. Okay, Bruce, I've got one more question that I'm dying to ask you. And this is a question that did come in through from a variety of different sources with the questions, but I'm going to ask Brenda's question, and Brenda's in the United States. And Brenda asks, what's the secret to staying on track when you aren't feeling well or when emotional setbacks strike?
Oh, beautiful, Brenda. Thanks. The secret to staying on track. So what Brenda's talking about here is motivation. How do you stay motivated? So you said, you know, when emotional setbacks strike. Well, the first thing I'd say to you, Brenda, is emotional setbacks, they never strike. Okay, emotional setbacks don't just come out of the sky and strike us. We actually create them. You may not be conscious of how you create them, but we create our emotions straight away. And that's the first thing I'd like to kind of get across there and really hammer that point home hard, because the minute you can take responsibility for your emotions, that we create our own emotions, then you have the power to do something about them. Okay? So one way to stay on track is to build your integrity muscles. And we spoke about this earlier, because when you do what you say you're going to do, it makes you very powerful, because generally you learn to act in spite of your feelings. So somebody who has integrity doesn't let their feelings run them. And so they don't get kind of thrown off course half as often as somebody who hasn't built their integrity muscle. And how you can do that is just practice doing the things you say you're going to do with little things first. Start with the small things. Like if you say you're going to drink 3 liters of water a day, do that. And learn to build your muscle so you can trust yourself. Most of us don't trust ourselves as far as we can throw ourselves, because we've got so much evidence to prove that we're untrustworthy, that we can't keep our resolutions, that we can't keep our habits, and we can't break our bad ones, that we don't believe we have any integrity. So start small and build that integrity muscle. The second thing you can do to stay motivated, and I speak about this in my, I've got this product called How to Stay Motivated, actually, that's what it's called. And it's got 15 techniques in it for how to stay motivated. And one of the techniques is called a state change. So essentially, when you're feeling bad and you're having an emotional meltdown or an emotional setback, as you said, what's really happening is that you're in an emotional state that's limiting you or not supporting you succeeding. And there's some really simple, easy tricks that I use. Like when I find myself feeling a little bit down, I know the one thing that works straight away is get on my bike and get outside and go riding. So without fail, I will get on my bike and go riding. If it's raining, I'll get in the car and I'll go driving in the car. Getting outside. Another one would be music. I'll play some of my favorite music. And these are temporary fixes, right? They're not permanent fixes for deep-seated emotional issues. For that, you know, you're really going to want to do some self-image work. But, you know, just to pick yourself up along the way when you're feeling motivated, listen to some great music. Do the things you love to do. Exercise. Stay in great physical shape. That'll keep you motivated because if your body's in shape, your mind stays in shape. And, in fact, if you want to learn about some more of these techniques, I've got this How to Stay Motivated is actually a bonus product for the Relaxation for Wealth. If you go into relaxationforwealth.co.uk, you'll see down there, I'm throwing that in as a freebie, and there's 2 hours worth of material of me talking about how to stay motivated and the techniques that I've used in my life, and I talk a little bit more about integrity, and you'll find it fascinating. You'll want to take notes on that one. And so, Brenda, to really just wrap up and answer your question is learn what makes you happy, and when you're happy, what are you doing? Take note of that, and when you're feeling like you're a bit emotionally down, do those things that generate those happy feelings for you. I have a whole list of things that make me happy. So, you know, when one doesn't work, I just move to the next until I start feeling better. And one of my favorite things to do is to phone up Damien and say, dude, you know, let's shoot the breeze or something. And that just kind of changes my state because, you know, he motivates
me. It does
me,
make a world of difference.
Oh,
having people
it.
Around you that can infuse you with energy and passion for the things that you're doing.
Bruce, that kind of brings us. I've exceeded my 10-minute limit, so I'm sorry. Slap me on the wrist, Damo.
But Bruce, I just actually want to acknowledge you for taking the time to actually spend the extra 10 or 15 minutes with us and really make sure that you could deliver all the value, that you possibly could in the space of just over a short hour.
Pleasure, Damien.
And literally, like I've been taking notes all the way through the call, and certainly. Like every time we speak, whether it's on a tele-seminar or just when we ring for a chat, I'm always taking away powerful ideas that I can implement in my life that could literally can and do actually make an incredible difference to my experience of life. And I have no doubt all the people on this call have had a similar experience this evening. And I was just wondering for those people who would love to stay in touch with you and find out what you're up to in the world, are there any other ways that they can get in touch with you and stay connected with you?
Probably the easiest way is through my website, through getting onto my mailing list, which, you know, if you think my calls are valuable, I try and do the same thing with every email I send out. I don't hit send in my emails until I'm convinced that this email adds value to people's lives. Because remember, we were talking about earlier, one of the external structures was to, you know, find a vehicle and then add value. So you can do that at designer-life.com, designer-life.com, and sign up for the Moving Mountain Success Lessons. You'll also get a one-hour free download, and every week I'll email you some success tidbit that you can use to apply into your life straight away. I never spam people, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want, so if it's not for you, you know, that's fine. But that would be the best thing to do. And then also sign up at relaxandattract.com for that visualization report and that visualization audio class. And I've got one of the most valuable email series there on how to use the law of attraction. I've written 5 emails in that series so far that are just my best work. And that's at relaxandattract.com. So and there you can get both of those, and that'll keep you in touch with me. And, you know, just before we sign off, Damon, I want to say thank you to you for, you know, keep having me on your amazing calls. I know you've had some of the brightest brains in the world on your calls, and for being such a great friend and mentor, I really, really appreciate it. And I also want to thank everybody listening who has taken the time, you know, I was just speaking to a lady before we started the call. She was up at 5 a.m. in Australia listening to this call. Thank you, everybody who's taken the time and made the effort to listen in and also to ask these amazing questions. You know, Damien will vouch that a couple of hours ago when we were reading through the questions, I was jumping off the ceiling with excitement to answer them because the quality of the questions that came through was just wow. So thanks, guys. And, you know, if you really want to create some massive wealth, go and check out relaxationforwealth.co.uk and transform your mindset for wealth.
Excellent, Bruce. And I just want to echo those comments as well. It's just amazing getting all the questions in week to week. Also, just I guess for people, like we are really interested in building conversation. And one of the things that I've recently implemented on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com download page is the opportunity for you to actually share your experiences of the call, whether you're listening to the call directly or whether you're actually listening back through a recording. We now have a feedback comment section on each of the recording download pages, so whenever you listen to your favourite People You Should Meet calls, please do take the time to share how that made a difference in your life, the distinctions you've taken away from it. Not only will you find it really useful for yourself, but also for people who are thinking about whether they should listen to the call or not, that piece of advice or your experience will certainly help them, guide them to work out which calls to listen to. And
following on that, also on top of that, is that you know, Damien and I have a mission to go out and spread as much transformation in the world as we can. And if you found this call valuable and you find Damien's call valuable and my call's valuable, please tell your friends about them. Send them an email to the link to this call or to Damien's site to sign up to his newsletter or to my newsletter or whatever the case may be so that other people can get exposed to this, because the more we can spread this information, the more value we can add in the world and the more difference we can make, you know.
Excellent. Cool. No, I agree completely with that, Bruce. Brilliant. So that is the end of our call. Bruce, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly. You're a tremendous inspiration to me. And, yeah, like I feel very, very privileged to have you as one of my dear friends. And I look forward to certainly having you back on peopleyoushouldmeet.com soon, but also, yeah, to our regular chats.
Awesome, Damien. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody. Take care.